America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boye Mafe is in there at an inside rushing position. Robinson stays in the backfield for Atlanta. Cousins scrambles left side, gets hit, goes down. Mafe, ball comes out. Ball rolling, picked up far side. It's hauled down the far sideline. He's going to score. Touchdown, Seahawks.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Right-hand hitter digs in. Trinan is ready. Kicks, delivers. Runner takes off. Swing and a bouncer to the right side. This should do it. Taylor collects. On to first, and it's over. The Dodgers have captured the National League pennant, and they're headed to the World Series.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Tarleton lobs it in. Taken away by Beavis. Off to Stewart. 28 years in the making. The New York Liberty are WNBA champions.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. I am Brandon Sprague. That is Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is happening?
I'm spicy.
Spicy today?
Spicy bummer. Brandon is in full effect today.
We got spicy Sprague on a Monday? Is that what you're telling me?
It's going to get hot, contentious, spicy. Uh-oh. You're going to hate me. We're going to yell at each other.
What are we angry about today? What's going wrong? Everything's wrong.
I'm in sports hell.
Yeah.
I'm in absolute sports hell right now.
Yeah, it's not a great time to be a Beaver right now. That's for damn sure. What else you got going for? Niners lost to the Chiefs.
Niners are sub 500. Yeah. Lost Brandon Ayuk to the season.
Yeah, likely an ACL done for the year.
I had a Moneyline bet on the Lynx. They got absolutely jobbed. The Liberty were given a championship last night.
I don't know what you're talking about. Looked like a clean call to me. That was a good W. Raise the banner, baby. Sabrina's the GOAT.
I can't watch my local basketball team. I found that out the hard way this weekend, so that was great.
What the hell is up with that? That almost needs... It's a football Monday, so it might not get its own time. That might need... We might have to carve out some time for that.
I thought they were on like charge or
so
something.
So I run into Morang on Friday because I had to come in and do the postgame show or pregame show. I don't usually see Danny Morang on a day-to-day basis because I'm out of here in the morning and he's in here in the afternoon, right? We don't cross paths very often, so I cross paths with him on Friday, and he alerts me to the fact that the Blazers are playing because I asked him why he was hanging around after the show. It's because he was going to the game. I was like, oh, that's right. And I said, hey, they're on TV tonight. I might actually be able to watch them tonight. What time does the game start? And he said, well, do you have YouTube TV? I said, yes. He said, well, you're not going to be able to watch him. And then I was thoroughly confused and felt like I was lied to for the last 2 months about, hey, I thought this thing was accessible forever. I thought we were back on cable.
It's more accessible.
Now it's not. What?
No, it's more accessible.
I thought it was okay to get YouTube TV to watch the games. Now I don't get the games. I'm so confused.
It will in January.
Yeah,
it'll
sure.
pay off in January.
By the time the team's unwatchable and 40 games below 500, then I can watch them. What's going on?
Yeah, so I ordered a HD antenna because I'm not going to get Blazer Vision.
You're not going to pay for Blazer Vision?
Well, the antenna was $20 on Amazon. Blazer Vision, if I want to cancel after three, is $60. And then I had a guy show up for my internet. He had to drill a hole through my house, so that was great. I got caught into an international political conversation somehow.
Whoa.
Well, he says he's from Boston. He's got a bit of an accent. I said, oh, he's from Boston. Does he like it here? He's like, I hate it. You hate him. I'm not really a fan of America. And I went,
oh, okay.
All right. Well, I know we're not perfect. And then he said something about Ukraine and Russia. And I was like, are you Ukrainian or Russian? I don't know what to say here.
I don't know which side I should take in this argument.
Because, you know, kind of had an accent of both. And then I'm like,
could go either way.
Where are you from? And he's like, Ukraine. And I'm like, I'm pro-Ukraine, buddy. Ukraine love in this house. It's awful what's happening over there.
You're damn right it is.
I don't know what else to say.
That's all you got.
It's just like I'm in a weird mood right now. I had a lot of weird things. I actually had a great gambling weekend.
You did, yeah.
I had a lot of things go my way on the gambling lifestyle.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm coming in. I'm spicy. I might hate your team today. Not your team, but like any listener, I might say something negative about your team.
It's okay. It's all right. It's understandable. You're going through it right now.
I'm charged.
And this is the time. Well, I wish I was charged too, because then I could watch Blazer games. But I'm not charged today, so I can't watch Blazer games until January 1st. Well done, Jody. This is the reminder that we allow, and it's going to hit me at some point this year. Like, it will come to me. It kind of did the first 2 weeks of the season, that we allow 18 to 22-year-olds to have way too much impact on our lives and our happiness. And I am certainly guilty of that. I know I'm a different person, a different husband when the Ducks lose. I'm in a much better mood when they win. And so the wife's only known happy husband all football season, but that will probably come crashing down at some point.
Well, and then I had, on Saturday was our last soccer game for my daughter's 8-year-old soccer team. And look, I don't take it that seriously. The other team we were playing, they've been down player. We play three of the same teams.
It's kind of rotate through.
Yeah, you just rotate through. So this other coach, I've kind of gotten familiar with him. His players don't show up. He has four players show up every week, and he's like, "Coach, I'm down again." I'm like, "Okay, I get your player." And I'm not one of these coaches. It's like, I'm going to give you my worst player because I need to win, right?
Sure, you're going to help him out. Give him somebody that can kick a ball a little bit.
I may have. I gave him the best player on our team, maybe, and that kid scored a goal on us, and then another kid scored a goal. And we lost.
And so it's like we losing the game.
Yeah, we lost.
Wow.
It's controversial.
Look at you taking the high road in youth amateur sports. It's all about winning, man. Don't you know that?
And look, I don't want to make this a thing, because when we express ourselves on this show or any show, what happens when you're honest is sometimes people hear about it, and then they're like, they feel weird about you, or they get upset by your opinion. You've probably had this with your in-laws.
All the time.
Right? You share like, "Oh, I got to go to a wedding." And there were people that probably heard that segment were like, "Well, look at this ungrateful piece of crap.
You don't want to come to my wedding? What the hell's the matter with you?"
And it's like, no, but like everybody's thinking this, but I'm the only one willing to say it.
I'm also the only one that is in the family that has a job in which I speak publicly over the air.
Do you know what I got caught in twice yesterday?
Oh, God. What happened?
When did I'm seriously asking this, okay?
Oh, no. I don't like the direction this is going.
No, this is part of the spicy weekend. And I want to be very transparent here. I am in full support. We got a lot of great gifts. I have nothing but love. I want to babysit, all of that, okay? So let's just put that in the front of it.
Yes.
When did the co-parenting baby shower become the norm?
I don't know.
When did society say...
I don't know.
Everybody.
I don't know. I don't know why this happened and how it happened, but we need to fight against
it. It's got taken over. I went to two baby showers yesterday.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's an absolute problem.
Now, same kid?
What?
Same kid?
No. Two different... There were two different friends...
having kids.
But they were back to back, and so like... One isn't as much an obligation, but I wanted to come say hi because I'm very happy for the parents.
Yeah, you want to say, you're invited.
Gotcha.
You know.
When you said co-parenting, I immediately went, you went to the dad's shower for their kid, and then you went to the mom's shower for the
just
kid?
When did the men and the women, that's become the norm in society, is like everybody. Everybody.
When we had my family side of the baby shower, I attended that one, but I did not ask, nor did we invite any other males to be there. I was only there because there was family from in town who I don't see very often.
Sure.
And it was like, hey, it would be nice if you saw these people and don't go play golf for 4 hours. And I said, okay, that's understandable. I will attend that, but I'm not mandating or inviting any other men to join this because they don't want to be there.
I was actually pleasantly surprised that you didn't do that. Yeah, I thought your situation would lend itself to say,
dude, I'm not going to a baby shower. It's not happening. Don't invite me to one.
Yeah, but
I'm
you will if your friend is having one.
No, I'll send you a gift. I'll send you something nice. If the wife wants to go, she can go. I'm not going to a baby shower and eating your decorative cookies and dressing somewhat nicely to go watch you open up onesies and bibs. It's just not happening, dude. I don't need to be there for that.
I don't know when it started, but I thought a couple years back, one of my wife's kind of friends, like one of those, like, they're friends, but they're not like friends. But they're friends.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I get it.
You know, she doesn't hang out with this person much.
But they talk. But they, yeah.
Yeah. We got invited to one of these. And then, like, before I knew it, I'm sucking apple juice through the teat of a bottle. And I'm like, when did this When did this become normal?
On a football Sunday, how did I find myself in this situation?
I don't know what happened. And then my friend has one, and it's his first kid. I couldn't be happier for the guy, but like,
I'm thrilled for you.
Then he's having one, and then there's another one, and I'm just like, I've noticed this trend in society.
No.
Where it's the guy and the girl and everybody's invited, and it used to not be this way. So I guess I'm just curious when this started.
Yeah, I don't know, but I have noticed that this is becoming more and more a thing.
This is becoming the norm, I think.
I feel like it's becoming more of a norm.
Yeah.
Now, the wife has a cousin who is expecting. They're going to have a kid. I'm assuming it will be on shower season, probably early winter. We're going to be kind of on shower watch to see who gets an invite. It's going to be a big test for him. I don't think I'm going to get invited, but I'm watching it like a hawk to make sure that I don't have to go. Because this is the kind of cousin too that you would say, hey, during your baby shower, why don't we go do something? Like, it's a Sunday, you want to get out of the house because you probably don't want to be there either.
Okay,
let's go play golf, let's go do X, Y, and Z. I'll do that with you during a baby shower, but being at the actual baby shower, I'm anti that.
Yeah, I just it's just interesting. Everybody,
it's a rough weekend, man. We had a rough weekend.
Spicy Monday.
Spicy Monday.
It's a spicy, spicy Monday.
All the way till Saturday night. A lot of Beaver fans left early, too, thinking the game was over, and then they almost won. They almost did it.
I watched a lot of that game, actually. Yeah. I had a concert I went to, which that was probably...
That was the highlight of the weekend, was unplugging from sports and going to a concert.
Yeah, the highlight of my weekend was going to a concert. I met one of our P1s, Tuned In Tyler. He was very nice. I met him and his gal. Very, very nice. I always love to meet listeners. That was the highlight of my weekend, was going to that concert.
Checking out the music scene.
I saw the score of the Beaver game, and even like there were two openers before the main.
Yeah.
Even like during some of the openers, I'd never heard of them. I'm just like scrolling, and then I'm loading in my ESPN app. I'm like, oh my God. Because I can watch DVR with knowing the result.
I can too.
And I knew Oregon State was down when I got into the Moda Center. And I'm just checking. I'm like, 33-7.
God, what's happening? What happened?
I got to listen to this group I've never heard of.
I got
to
come in on Monday morning and talk about this.
And I watched on Sunday morning, and I'll just tell you, like, you're not going to hear any remarks on Beaver fan today. That's not where I'm going with my opinions.
You leave early. You spent hard money on that ticket.
You get out of there.
You do whatever the hell you want.
But Sprague, we almost came back. Yeah. Controversial.
We need to stop policing fan behavior. It happened again this weekend in the Tennessee-Bama game where everybody made fun of Tennessee fans for taking the field goals down again because I think they were the higher-ranked team in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
It was 11 versus 7.
Seven.
I don't remember who was. Bama was 7.
They were 11.
Yeah,
they were 11. Okay, so it was technically a ranking upset. Yeah. But people tried to give them a hard time. Like, who can't? They went like 20 years without beating Alabama. It was a long time, and they finally broke through and did it last year. Charge the damn field every game. I don't care.
Two years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago when they finally did it.
Yeah.
Tear down the damn goalposts every time. I don't care. It's not my money. The university's got to put some new goalposts in for the next game. They'll be fine. Go have fun.
That's kind of how I feel, too. Yeah.
If you spend money on a ticket, you can do whatever the hell you want. If you wanted to leave that Beaver game early, I don't blame you. I was close to turning it off. The only reason I didn't turn it off was because I had a ridiculous run in the last week of leaving sporting events early and turning games off, and I was watching them and missing classic finishes. That was the only reason I watched the rest of the game.
Well, it's a spicy Monday. I'm ready to yell. I'm ready to piss people off. Bring it on, text listeners. You're welcome in at the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. I think the only thing that would have made this more spicy on a Monday is if I would have seen Jason Swigart in instead of Will Ortner, which, by the way, good morning, Will Ortner.
Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Will. Swag was leaving at 8 o'clock from his vacation. His
in
flight
Palm
got
Springs.
Delayed. Yes.
Probably a 2.5-hour flight from Palm Springs. I've done that flight before.
Call it two and a half.
Yeah, fun flight, yeah.
And he texted us, flight delayed at 8. I said, you better find a replacement. He was fighting back on that. I'm like, no, I don't want you in here on 2 hours of sleep.
And then he ends up sending Will a text at 1 o'clock in the morning with a rundown for the show. Like, yeah, that would have been a lot of fun on 3 hours of sleep.
I don't want to deal with angry, sleep deprived Swigart clock Nazi.
Go!
Camera on him, he's yawning. Like, no, thank you.
I got the text the night before. He got me like right before I fell asleep too, because we were texting back and forth and I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to wake up to a text and I'm going to be ready to go. I'm going to go to bed.
Either way, you're ready.
Worst case scenario, I go to the gym at 5 a.m.
You're
It'll
up
be
early.
Okay. I'm going to be up.
Yeah.
Boom. I've got my coffee. We'll be good.
Well, it's good to have Will Ortner in. It is a loaded show. A lot to discuss. Let's get it going. Local menu. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on a spicy Monday. Does your sports team suck too? Share your feelings at the Vancouver Ford text line.
Mine's ranked number one. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We're doing pretty good.
We're having a great time.
It's good. We're having a
at least your arch rival in baseball is in the World Series and probably going to win it.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. That's brutal. I got that going against me. I now have to root for the New York Yankees, so that's a weird thing to have to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of pulling for the Yankees, but also I love Otani.
Yeah,
I don't want
it.
New York sports fan to be happy, but like I'm kind of pulling for the Yankees for Mike Lynch.
Yeah,
but I love Otani.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
All of
go
this
Yankees.
Stuff is weird.
Go Yankees.
I saw a tweet and it was like a picture of like Hitler and Stalin, and it's like the World Series this year. It's like, who do you root for?
I mean, I think you got to go Stalin there. I think you got to go Stalin.
Do you?
I think you got to go Stalin.
Let's not debate this.
It's an ally, all right? That's an ally right
better,
there, Will.
Hitler or Stalin?
Let's get the local menu. A lot of things happen locally or locally-ish. I'll just start with something I don't even know if Dirt knows about. Laco beat number one West Lynn.
I do know about it, yeah.
LaMarcus Bell rushed for 197 yards, and they beat West Lynn 21-17. How about that?
I'm going to have a deep talk with my buddy Anthony Newman on Saturday.
Yeah, where was your rush defense,
now,
Anthony?
I know what he's going to say, and that is that they threw one of their touchdowns was a pick six.
Yeah.
They threw a pick six to LO.
They did.
I think they had control of the game early and then threw a pick six, but number one goes down. That's a big-time result right there. Those will be likely the two teams that face each other in the state championship.
Well, it's
maybe Central. Game. Central probably in the mix as well.
Central's always in the mix.
It's the same
right?
three or four schools every year. But that was a bit of a surprise for some. I thought West Lynn was unbeatable. Now my Saturday co-host is not going to be in a good mood.
We should bring him on, daily ticker type segment, be like, what's up with your rush defense?
Post-game press conference. What's going on, Anthony? You're not fitting the C-gap well enough.
This happened last night.
Carlton lobs it in. Taken away by Thiebus. Off to Stewart. 28 years in the making. The New York Liberty are WNBA champions.
Ryan Rucco, ESPN on the call. An overtime Game 5 win for the New York Liberty. Their first in franchise history. Sabali, Inescu, and Vandersloot, former Ducks, get WNBA championship rings. My Lynx were absolutely robbed and hosed in this game.
What are you talking about?
It was one of the worst calls in a final seconds of a game I've ever seen in a decisive, you know, final game for a championship.
Kudos to the coach for coming out and saying it too.
Like,
she does not care, and she will take any sort of discipline that comes her way.
I would too. Go watch the replay. That is not a foul.
No.
They probably win the title, but they didn't do anything in overtime. The Liberty win. Sabrina with a ring.
She did get a ring. She was horrendous last night.
Her and Stewie both were awful.
Dude, that was bad.
That was one of the worst games I've ever watched in my life. It was 47-44.
I'm glad we can talk about this.
In the fourth quarter.
That was, that I'm sure got a lot of eyeballs because it was a deciding game of the WNBA finals, and the WNBA season has had a great run in ratings, and the finals have had a really good run so far. That's one of the worst basketball games I've ever watched.
Oh, easily.
Like that I turned it off occasionally just because I knew it was a game five, but it's like, I'm going to check back in 10 minutes. I'd rather watch Aaron Rodgers throw another interception than this, or the Dodgers be up by 37 runs in the eighth inning. They could not make a shot.
No.
Either team last night. That was horrendous basketball, but awesome for Sabrina to get a ring, even though she went 1 of 19.
This was some good news for Cougar fans.
Play action, middle throw to Hernandez, bumps off one, turns the corner, and Hernandez is in. Touchdown, Cougars.
CW on the call there. We make our big PP picks. This one felt easy to me. Cougars win against Hawaii 42-10.
Yeah, it was a nice, easy, comfortable win. Never in doubt. You knew basically at the end of the first quarter, or at least early in the second quarter, this thing was 21-3 at the half. It was over from that point. Their schedule is incredibly manageable. They already played Boise State. They did lose that game on the road. They don't have the Cal game like Oregon State has this weekend. They don't have to play UNLV like Oregon State did this past weekend. Really, the only challenging game left on their schedule that I would circle is the game in Corvallis the week before or the week of Thanksgiving, whenever it is. Every other game on their schedule is manageable, man. They got a legitimate shot at going 11-1 this year, and they took care of business this weekend.
This happened Friday, though. I didn't see any of it. I just kept reading about it on Twitter.
Not a good rebounding three in a couple of years since Josh Hart was traded. Sexton to Kessler, and pocket pass rejected by Klingon.
Yeah, there was Blazer Vision.
I believe it was Rich Burke on the call, but
Rich
Lamar
Burke
Hurd
filling in for Kevin Calabro on the call. Donovan Klingon at 14 points, 20 boards, 4 blocks versus the Jazz. Now everybody's all jazzed up.
I would be jazzed up, too, if I would have been able to watch the game. Would have been really excited about that. We'd be jazzed up for opening night if I could watch the game.
You remember that one time? I thought I was going to watch the game? You remember?
Remember the time I used to be able to watch Blazer games and I was told they're back on local TV and now they're not on my local TV?
I do want to sort something out very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused by something. I saw some people that I follow and like start talking about how now we call him Kling Kong, and I'm very confused by some of this. Casey Oldall interviewed him on the Briefcase podcast.
Yeah, what did he say? Did we ask him about Kling Kong?
Well, he asked him if he was okay with it, and he said, yeah, I'm actually making merch, which is cool. I'm just confused why all of a sudden we're now debating or settling if we've been calling him that for months.
That's we named him. I mean, not we. That just we
summer
just,
league.
We've been calling him that forever since he's been a Blazer.
Yeah, but it became like a thing of like it's Kling Kong. Like it's been Kling Kong. Yeah, where am I losing this narrative at?
He was Kling Kong on Friday night. 20 rebounds and 4 blocks in a game. I don't care if it's preseason or not, dude.
I'm thinking about going to the game, dude. I want to be honest
Wednesday?
With you. I might be tired on Thursday a little bit, but the caffeine will be injected into my veins. I kind of want to go to a game.
I might have to, too, because I can't watch them on TV. So, you know, maybe I'll have to go to the game on Wednesday night, too.
Go get an antenna.
I was told they were going to be on my local
TV.
It's
$20.
Not on my local TV.
Get an antenna.
You're not getting my money, Jody. I'm not paying you any more money.
No, you don't pay Jody. I paid Amazon.
I know. They gave away the free ones. I should have claimed one of those. I just didn't know that I needed to do that because I was told they were going to be on YouTube TV. The only question about him is minutes. I'm really curious to see when the year starts Wednesday, how many minutes per game he's going to play.
So Donovan Klingon with a big game. This happened on Saturday night. I don't really know how much I want to talk about it.
Williams, his legs and his arms have had his moment. And there's a slant they've been looking to hit on all night long, and they finally get a white.
Yeah, that screams, sums it up. That's the CW Network. Printman on the call. That touchdown made it 33-17 UNLV. In Corvallis this weekend.
Nice little comeback after that, though.
Let's
rally from
the
there.
Friday night game.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights.
There you go. He had this go on.
It'll be second down and goal from the 8. Gabriel looking at the sideline for the play, looking for the play clock. Noise level rises up. Snap. and hand it off. James goes up the middle. James scores! Touchdown, Jordan James, his seventh of the year. Started to go right, found the blocking.
Jerry Allen on the call, as heard here on The Fan. The Ducks blank Purdue 35-0. I know this is inaccurate, but I feel like this was a game where I saw Lanning taking selfies with fans before the game was over. But I know that didn't happen, but it felt like it did because that game was terrible to watch. Purdue is awful. I know they rushed for 200 yards, but
hey, how
on.
Dare you? They scored 49 a week ago against a ranked Illinois team. That was a feisty opponent, a blackout Friday night game in their backyard.
I couldn't believe, I mean, maybe Duck fan just wants to see their team win.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how many Duck fans were at that game. I'm like, man, of all the trips to take.
Here's what I'll say. I think people, this is one of the unique things about the Big Ten move that for some Duck fans it is a good thing nationally, is that there are pockets of Duck fans in Chicago. And there's
That's true.
So
right.
There's a lot of people, like I got a buddy who lives in New York who's a diehard Duck fan. He's never going to fly out to a game. But if they go to Maryland now, or if they go to Rutgers, I can actually go to a game.
That's a good point.
That was part of it. I mean, you come out and you score in your first three possessions of the game. See you later.
That was like, as soon as the first drive was done.
Touchdown, punt, touchdown, 21-0. Adios, muchachos. Thanks for coming, Purdue.
Purdue kind of got into territory, and I'm like, are they going to backdoor cover the 28 and
they
a half
tried
number?
To a couple of times. They were close.
That number, I think, closed at 30.
It did. It ended up closing north of 28 and a half. Yeah, it went all the way up to 30, and they flirted with it a little bit, and then they threw the pick in the end zone with whatever it was, 90 seconds to go, and sealed the 35-0 win.
And now the Ducks are ranked number one, according to almost all the AP voters, except one West Coast guy, which I want to get to today.
Nobody's giving us a chance, man.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
Underdogs, chip on the shoulder.
Yep.
Nobody's talking about us. We're not getting any attention. Yep. We're just grinding. That's all we're doing. We're not going to let any rat poison get to us.
So there is the local menu, things and dealings that went on locally-ish from Friday into Monday morning. We'll get back into the Ducks being ranked number one. We will talk about my poor Beavs. We're just getting dropped left and right by the state of Nevada. Where do they go from where they are? I don't know. But we'll get to more of that coming up, some more local stuff. Up next, I want to talk about the thing we brought up on Friday's show that didn't make a lot of sense. And boy, did it come to fruition. That's next. But first, Big Will with a sports update.
Your thing, do what you want to do.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
Well, you got your wish. You're welcome, Dirt.
What did I get? What did I ask for?
Well, we talked about it on Friday, and we had talked with Josh Pate. Josh Pate was one of a few people. Game Day was also the entire crew of Game Day, who was in Austin, Texas. I didn't watch as much of that Game Day as I did the week previous for obvious reasons. It was in Eugene.
I had it on all morning. I watched most of it.
I saw the kicker. He got two opportunities. He
did.
Sucked.
He tried to go square toe boot, and that did not work out for him very well.
It did not. But the thing we had talked about on Friday's show was how I didn't really understand this whole, like, Texas is going to handle and Texas is going to roll and Georgia going to Texas. That's another big win for Texas. I just didn't get it. And we had dove in and said, like, what are we missing here? Kirby Smart. Elite defense, stout offensive line. Okay, maybe they lose to Texas, but this whole like handle or lose to Texas in outright fashion, we didn't understand it. Now, I disagree with you still, but I'll give you this. You said you were rooting for the Bulldogs. I would have been rooting for them from a point spread perspective, but I thought it'd be better for you to root for Texas. But you said you were rooting for Georgia because you wanted to see Texas show vulnerability. And you got your wish because they got shoved around and pushed around by Georgia on Saturday.
It was almost as shocking as the Georgia-Alabama game. And I don't think it's indicative that Texas can't hang or can't compete and maybe we get a rematch and the game goes differently. They had one major concern coming into this game. And we talked about it a little bit last week. And anybody who broke down the game knew it. Texas's rushing offense was outside of the top 40 in the country. And if you go back to August, we did segments on them losing their top two running backs going into the season. They both went down in training camp. That's a hard thing to overcome. And then you look in the first half of that game, Texas averaged for the game. Now, some of this is sack yardage, so it takes away from the overall rush effort. They averaged 1.1 yards per carry. They had 27 carries for 29 yards. Now, again, a little misleading. Their top back at 52 yards, but they lost a lot of yards in sack yardage. They were physically dominated at the line of scrimmage in a way that I was honestly shocked by, similar to the way of what Alabama did to Georgia in the first half in Tuscaloosa. You just, your eyes almost are, you can't believe what you're watching, because I thought Georgia had a great chance to win that game. I still think Georgia's probably the best team in the country, despite what happened a few weeks ago. I didn't see 23-0. Texas can't get a damn first down coming. Their drive chart in the first half was so horrifically bad right out of the gate. Like, there was zero sign of hope, to the point where they had to bench their Heisman contending quarterback. He was playing so awful. Seven plays, punt, three and out, fumble, three and out, interception, three and out. That was their first half drive chart. Yeah. And just like that, you're down 23-0, turning the football over. The craziest aspect to all of this is Georgia dominated this football game, and their offense was terrible.
I mean, you talk about the start of the game, there's no hope. After the first couple possessions, you may have felt that way. It didn't start that way.
Not until Texas started turning the ball over
in the first quarter.
Yeah, once they started turning the ball over and giving Georgia short fields and handing them points, then you knew, like, all right, they're not going to win this game.
Here was Kirby Smart in the post game. He got a little testy on ESPN. Nobody's given us a chance, and he let everybody know it in America.
Nobody believed us, and then they tried to rob us with calls in this place, and these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah, coach.
Our intent was to eat. Our intent was to come eat and be hungry. I'm not interested in all the bells and whistles. What I want is a team that fights their ass off, and they did tonight.
There's a couple drops in that, man. That look, Kirby Smart.
That was vintage Kirby.
It was great. He might be the new Saban in terms of, like, when he says something, it means maybe the most in the sport. I don't know. But, man, when he wants to share how he feels, he does, and he doesn't hide away. And I love that he kind of called it out. The whole nobody believed in us.
Yeah, that's a little funny. But also, to your point, everybody on game day, if you're watching, literally everybody picked Texas in that.
I understand, but if I could have put $100 on Georgia plus 5.5, I would have, without a doubt. And watching that, I just laughed of, like, yeah, this is kind of what I thought could potentially happen. Now, the Texas part of this is interesting, but I want to highlight them real quick. Their pass rush and defensive line is nasty.
Dominated the football game. Won them the football game single-handedly.
This is why, and we'll get to your team, but this is why I said you should root for Texas, is that's not a team I would want to see in a playoff.
Well, sir, I don't want to see them either, but guess what? They're going to be in the playoff.
Well, like, this
whole
day, like this, yeah.
This whole idea that if they lose this game, they're not going to make it. Ole Miss is not beating them.
No.
Stop it. And Tennessee's not going to Athens and beating them.
No, Tennessee should have lost this weekend.
Even if they would have lost this game, they still would have likely been in the playoff. Yeah. And I would have argued, even if they had three losses, you're still going to find a way to get them in, because it's the committee and that's what they're going to do. They play in the SEC. So my whole thing with them is, if you're going to play Georgia in the playoff, you want it to be as late as humanly possible.
And hope for
hopefully
something.
You get a 1 or a 2 seed, they get a 1 or a 2 seed, and then you don't have to play them until the national championship game, and
sure,
maybe somebody gets hurt. There was a mock playoff bracket that came out last week after Oregon beat Ohio State, had them as the number one seed, Oregon, winning the Big Ten. And they had the 8-9 matchup in which the Oregon would play the winner as Alabama versus Georgia. And you'd have to play them right out of the gate in the first round, the further they're down in the bracket. We have no clue how this is going to turn out. I just chuckled at most of that stuff because they're Georgia, and I never changed my mind on the fact that they were Georgia.
Now, here's the thing about them, though. Their quarterback is not very good, in my opinion.
He's been terrible in their two big games.
Yeah.
He had a good second half against Alabama. He was horrendous in the first half of that game.
Well, when you're down, like, what, 28-35-0 against Alabama, of course you can sling it with no worries. You have nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah.
He has not been very good this year. In fact, I think there's a conversation to be had this week. If you're an NFL franchise, what quarterbacks are standing out right now?
I mean, there's only one,
Cam,
to be honest.
Cam and Shador?
Yeah. I'm not touching Cam with a top draft pick.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with that. Shador is going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Well, Mel Kiper Jr. says no, and I still think, like, there's questions about Shador. So the quarterback playing college football has been very shit. Milroe has been atrocious. He looked awful against Tennessee. Quinn Ewers, let's talk about that.
Guy got benched in the biggest game of the year.
And now Sark says, you know, to be fair, he did put Ewers back in the second half, but he benched him, and he said at halftime, oh, I did it to get his mind right, reset him. You kind of start making people question things the minute things go bad.
Yeah.
And Quinn Ewers is still a good player, but yeah, Georgia did that to Sarkisian. And he, by the way, was mocked. He mocked a reporter during the week who said, if something bad happens, would you turn to Arch? And he said, that's not even a question. I mean, next question is basically what he told the reporter. And in the second quarter of this game, he benched Quinn Ewers and put in Arch Manning.
And then tried to play the game afterwards saying it's not, you know, this isn't about a quarterback change and there's not a controversy. He needed a mental reset going into the locker room.
Just ridiculous.
You're talking about a Heisman contending quarterback who's been a starter for 3+ years now at Texas. A guy that is a candidate to win the Heisman Trophy, a guy that went into Michigan and shredded them earlier this year. Now, Michigan's not very good, I grant you that.
Michigan is not even a top 25
team. No, but he's played great. He's played really good football, and he is supposed to be the leader of your team. He beat his biggest rival last week in the Red River Shootout 35-3 and played great in that game. And then you benched him, and you're telling everybody that there's nothing to see here. The fact that the fans also gave Arch a standing ovation when he came into the game, like... Oof. Again, I get it. It's probably hard not to. It's Arch Manning, all the, you know, the buzz about him and the potential of the future and all that.
Well, they had done nothing offensively. I think that's like, what it was about.
Like, dude, if you're right. Quinn Ewers and you're standing on the sideline and you hear that, like, I haven't done anything wrong, man. I've had one bad half of football. I led us back to a college football playoff last year. You're welcome for that, by the way. And now you're cheering that I'm getting benched in the biggest game of the year with all the eyes of the sport.
Weren't Duck fans booing the Ducks after their second possession against Boise State?
It's a little bit different.
I'm just saying, like, fans everywhere in America have no patience for anything.
They went to a playoff last year. They were having one bad half of football. They're 6-0. Oregon barely beat Idaho and then was losing to Boise State and ran it 3 straight times and punted. And they booed the entire team, but not an individual player.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not defending it. It's funny, but it's also, I think, now that we've seen who Michigan is, this is kind of your first test. Michigan's not a real team.
I don't disagree with that.
So I just think, like, it's the impatience of 3 straight, 4 straight possessions of absolute nothingness and embarrassment. Of like, yes, something different.
They don't cheer that way, though, if that backup quarterback has the last name Johnson. There is not a standing ovation with him coming into the game.
I think it's fair to ask, are they doing that if his last name isn't Manning? Because I don't know if Sarkisian is doing that. I think there's a bit of this, like, Manning... Not that the Mannings are on the line of like, Steve, you better play our guy. They seem like they're handling it pretty well as a family. But also, if his last name isn't Manning, I don't know if he's getting inserted in that game.
Also, the idea that a veteran 4-year starter is getting confused and confumbled by the looks that he's given, and you're going to bring in a true sophomore who's going to come in and shred that defense.
Yeah, outside like, stop of a couple it, runs, he didn't look good at all.
He's a great athlete. He had a 21-yard run, and that gave him a little boost. And then he did exactly what Quinn Ewers did for 2 drives. He got sacked.
Right.
He turned the ball. Yep. Like he was a problem, too. So this idea that something was going to change was laughable.
I think the whole reason they brought him in, though, was because he can move. Like, watching Quinn Ewers try to evade that. Like, obviously, the O-line played horrible. Like, you're supposed to have this great offensive line.
They got beat bad.
That is supposed to be what you're leaning on. It's also clear Georgia's D-line is finally getting healthy.
It's the best
and
in
you're
the country,
seeing
probably,
the full
right?
extent that they have. But I think the only reason they brought in Arch, he says to calm down Quinn, I think it's just because he knew they didn't have a move yet for the offensive line. They need to get in at halftime and start coming up with different ways to make their lives easier. And so it's, we're going to throw Arch in because Arch can at least scramble and he's not just a sitting duck back there.
Kirby was asked at the halftime, he had that cut in the postgame, but at halftime he was asked about the adjustments that you have to make with Arch versus having Quinn, and he dropped a scoot. Well, you know, he could scoot. He could scoot a little better. He's a better athlete.
Scoot around the field a little bit. That's all you got.
Oh, yeah, Kirby. He can scoot.
And then him forcing a ball into double coverage with a wide open guy over the middle of the field because he just doesn't see the field well enough yet. Yeah. He's a better athlete. I don't doubt that at all. He's going to be an awesome quarterback when the time comes for him. The fact that you are in that position of needing a boost to your offense with that starting quarterback situation, that's a really bad look for you. And without a horrific overturn call, that game is a bloodbath. Because if they don't get the overturn call and the interception in the second half of that game, they probably lose it by 21+, if not more. That gave them a little bit of life, got them back within a score, and you thought, all right, maybe there's something here. And then Georgia went on a 92-yard drive.
Well, Dirt Friday asked for vulnerability, and he got it. Texas looks vulnerable. It's shaping up, and maybe Georgia will prove ultimately to be the cream of the crop. But if you're a Duck fan, a Buckeye fan, Tennessee, whoever your favorite team is, maybe Clemson, you got what you asked for. Texas looks very beatable. And maybe that's just Georgia, or also maybe that's what this college football season's ultimately going to be, is every team is vulnerable. Georgia, even with their win, their quarterback looks shaky. So I think that's the beauty, and something you highlighted on Friday's show is you wanted to see vulnerability.
And I would argue even out of that game, if Georgia plays defense that way, there's nobody in the country that can beat them. That was vintage Kirby.
Like an NFL defense.
Our front's going to dominate this, and you will do nothing about it. You're not going to be able to run the ball, and we're going to breathe down your quarterback's neck the entire game.
Yep.
The silver lining, though, for Georgia is, and I'll go back, their offense is terrible. Like, they don't have a difference maker on the outside. Their run game, ETN's a good back. He had 3 touchdowns in the game. Their scoring drive started on the 13-yard line, Well, not quite the 13, but they went 13 yards and kicked a field goal.
Right.
Scored a touchdown from the 34-yard line and then went 25 yards and kicked a field goal.
Well, they should have scored more touchdowns. Kirby was mad about that. A lot of field goal settling.
There was a lot of field goal setting, and all of those started in plus territory because Texas kept turning the football over. Like, Texas's defense, I thought, had a chance to keep them in the game, and they did. I thought they played really well. They forced 3 different turnovers. When you constantly hand your opponent the ball on the 35 or 40-yard line, you're not going to win a game.
A couple of dealings to get to in college football. The Ducks are ranked number 1. We'll get that at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Dirt, I told you via text 2 weeks ago I'm out. And I want to add, not only am I out, I now have a hatred for somebody I've never really had in my life.
Who do we hate?
After everything that's happened with my team this year in college football.
Been a rough year.
You put me officially in the I hate USC, and USC can cease to exist forever.
Let's go. Welcome to the club, buddy.
You know what?
Come on in.
You blew up our entire thing so you could lose to Minnesota and Maryland.
Yeah.
Because you were scared of Oregon. And I'm out. Lincoln doesn't have it. And USC sucks, and I hate them, and I hope they lose every other game the rest of the way. I was really satisfied seeing the fact that they lost to Maryland, especially considering I knew my team would lose to UNLV. And it's just like I woke up Sunday spicy already, and I'm like,
already angry going in.
I hate them. They ruined everything for us. UCLA, you just went because you're LA. USC ruined all of this, all of the things we had. They ruined it because you guys recruited well and you spent money on your institution. I hate USC. I will forever hate USC. I'm all in.
Round of applause.
Anti-Trojan.
Round of applause.
Thank you.
They were the ones that spearheaded this entire thing. I know a lot of animosity exists for my program and the decision that they made. The reality has always been, if USC and UCLA don't leave, Oregon's not in the Big Ten right now. They're just not. That would not have happened. The Pac-12 would have got a TV deal. Wouldn't have been great, but we would have stuck together and you know, continued on our Big 12 or ACC path, making $30 million a year, and that's the way that it would have looked. It has been hilarious, and I have loved every second of this. To further that note, do you know now we're going into week 9 of the college football season? Of all the teams that left the Pac-12, so 10 of them that left, you know how many teams are ranked of the 10 that left?
One.
Oregon, right? That's it?
Only one.
Colorado's probably deserving of some
votes. Colorado's having a really nice year.
Arizona.
They're having a really nice year. Arizona on the other side. Yeah. A lot of expectations. They've been terrible.
Boy, Utah lost their offensive coordinator.
Utah is a problem right now. Oof. Andy Ludwig just stepping down being like, I'm done.
Do you know
how
big that is that he stepped
down?
He was a big get for them to keep. He almost went to Notre Dame.
And then he left another time and they brought him back. Yeah, he's been around. Right. This is his second stint at Utah. Like, that is a horrific turn of events for them. USC has been a dumpster fire. UCLA is irrelevant. Like,
ASU's calling out their kicker.
Welcome to the new reality of football, where not you can't just lose to Stanford on a 2.5-hour bus ride. Now you got to fly all the way to Maryland and Rutgers to lose your games. The other irony of this is they play their next game, USC does, Friday night at home against Rutgers. It is an 8 o'clock local kick Friday night.
There will be nobody at that game.
Do you know what else is happening on Friday night?
I don't.
In Los Angeles.
Oh, World Series.
Game 1 of the World Series is Friday night in Los
Nobody
Angeles.
Nobody will care about
There will
that
be
game.
37 people in the crowd as you play your longtime rival, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, in an 8 p.m. kick on Friday
Rutgers
night.
Can beat them. I know they lost to UCLA.
You also have,
Rutgers
this could be a fun
them.
Question, I believe St. John Bosco and Mater Dei also play this week, if I'm not mistaken, who are maybe the two best programs in the entire country, but definitely in California. And there was a whole other article that came out about how Lincoln Riley won't even go to their practices and he won't even recruit. The guy is a joke. Their program is getting everything that they deserve. Welcome to your new reality, a new hell, where this is what your future is going to look like. Oregon is going to steamroll you. Have fun losing to Maryland and Michigan and Minnesota for the next 10 years.
I just, 3-4, I don't know what they do. Maybe he is going to get fired. I could be way wrong on
if
that.
If they don't make a bowl game in year 3 Imagine saying that 3 years ago when he gets hired. I get the argument, like, Pate is on this run, and I disagree with him heartedly, but, hey, he's making some changes. Give him time. New defensive staff, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't think they can financially afford to fire him is why I
probably
stick with
not.
The opinion.
You're
They're
making
not...
$80 million a year in that Big Ten deal, man. My team's getting half that. We should get the whole damn thing. We're the ones bringing eyeballs to your stupid conference.
They largely are still dealing with the financial fallout of a big scandal that happened. I think they had to settle for $200 million.
It's a drop in the bucket for USC. Should be at least.
And they have money, but like they're not really well run.
No.
I don't know what you do with that USC stuff, man. That's ugly. You lose the Rutgers and fall to 3-5.
They go to Washington the next week. They're going to lose that game.
They don't play well on the road.
I know Nebraska was embarrassing this weekend. They've also been a pretty consistently good team this year, and I would take Nebraska in that matchup.
How about, by the way, we didn't get to all the dealings. Maybe let's hold this, because I got BYU audio we can get to. That was a wild game on Friday.
That was.
Indiana might be the story of all the teams. They might be the story of college football. They're getting game day this weekend.
And their quarterback's hurt. That's a bummer. Right when they get game day and figure it out, their quarterback's going to be out for a while.
Such bad timing. Such bad timing.
I do criticize that decision, though. Like, you should go to Navy this weekend. Navy's hosting Notre Dame. They're undefeated.
Notre Dame.
Go to Navy, yeah, Notre Dame. That's a better game. 4-3 Washington.
They've never
Indiana.
Been to Bloomington.
Have they ever been to Navy?
Probably. That's for an Army point. Navy game.
For what?
Army Navy.
Do they go for Army Navy?
Well, that game.
I don't think they do. That's the only game of the week. I don't think they do game day that week. Do they?
I think they do.
The week after conference championship
help
games.
Us on this. I feel like
maybe
I've
I'm wrong on
it.
That, but I don't feel like they do that. That's a big CBS thing. They don't get the game.
Oh, okay. Well, but they still go to places when they don't have the game.
That is true.
The big nooner sometimes will go to that game.
That is true.
Even though they're not doing it.
Yeah, the big nooner always goes to their game.
It's been featured 9 times for the Army Navy game.
Yeah, okay. I thought I'd seen that.
All right, never mind.
Navy.
I'm an idiot.
Well, I just, you know, you're going. No, the Notre Dame thing. Like, yeah, earn it. You lost to Northern Illinois. I saw that with my own eyes.
They're 6-1. They're going to be in the playoff. Brace yourself accordingly. They'll be there at the end of the year.
Also, that St. John Bosco and Mater Dei game, that is that Friday.
It is Friday night.
I would rather go to that.
Sure. Without a doubt. Yes.
I bet you I'd pay more money to go to that than to watch Kyle Manungai versus Miller Moss.
Rutgers just lost to UCLA at home.
Yes.
Swag was telling us 2 weeks ago, you know, Rutgers can make the Big Ten title. Okay.
If they have a good defense, they're just all hurt.
You know what? They're Rutgers.
They're Rutgers. They're Rutgers.
Birthplace college football. Don't do this.
Yeah, they're Rutgers.
Don't do this. This is Tony Soprano.
Yeah, screw you, USC. Forever suck. I'm out. You ruined everything for me. Everything.
Over your greed, and you were scared of Oregon.
You scary berries keep losing to Maryland and Minnesota. You all suck.
Yep.
By the way, I forgot to add to my spiciness, Michigan State beat Iowa.
That was
you know, fun to watch Childs deal, Jonathan get a big win.
It was actually a really impressive win.
Piss me off, dude. I'm so spicy today. Let's get into it. Hour number two, Ducks are ranked number one.
Spicy.
We'll get into the Beavs. It's a spicy Monday during Sprague on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.